Mini episode 747 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, everybody. It's the FDH Lounge doing the NFL preseason previews for 2016 AFC West time. Rick Morris, Kyle Ross coming at you with our predictions, and this is the division that houses the Super Bowl champion of a year ago. And again, rarely do we see a situation like this where a team wins the Super Bowl and then isn't even, I'd say, a significant.
I beg to differ, sir.
Okay, where are we at before?
How many years have we been doing this again? Remind me. Five?
This is our five fifth year doing this? Every week. We did some stuff in 2011 also.
I remember. It must have been the first year we did this then. The Giants coming off their second Super Bowl.
Okay.
Everyone picked them to kind of stink the next year. And then Baltimore, too, that year. Remember those back-to-back years? I'll give you this. It's been a few years since we had to do that because we've had Seattle and New England the coming off, and everyone expected them to still be good. But there's a precedent for what I expect out of Denver this year.
No. I'm not saying it's unprecedented, but I see differences. And let me draw the distinction as I see it. Is that in the case of the Giants, it was kind of a thing of like, okay, it's their once every 4 years thing. Like, we expected them to kind of settle back down. They were a 9-7 team that won the Super Bowl, so there was a little bit of that. In the case of Baltimore, as we talked about before with New England, we were in a pattern a couple of years ago. We don't do this anymore with New England of just like, well, they're due. Everybody falls back at some point. But we were saying that about Baltimore for a while, and eventually, by the next year, we were right. Baltimore won that Super Bowl at right about the moment that it was peak Ravens, and they've been sort of rebuilding up back up to that point ever since. In the case of Denver, it's really freaking obvious why we're saying this, because of the gaping chasm that they have at quarterback right now. And ironically...
Yes, I want you to bring that, because there's a great discussion to be had here.
If you look at the here's the thing, too. And normally when this happens, you look at it and you go, oh, it's because the Hall of Fame quarterback retired. No, I'd say the more impactful of the two losses is the guy who marched off to Houston in the offseason, because the way Peyton Manning was looking late last year, Peyton Manning won two Super Bowls in his career. He won the first Super Bowl as Peyton Manning, and he won his second Super Bowl as Trent Dilfer, because that's basically what we saw. He was carried by the Denver defense. The record will say that he won two Super Bowls, but he really only won one as Peyton Manning as we know him. The greater loss by far was Brock Osweiler, because that's the guy you would look to start the next season with anyways, even if Peyton Manning came back. I realize it's difficult to bench a Hall of Fame quarterback, but you would have had to have said anyways, we got to start going with this Brock Osweiler and see what we got. Now it's a matter of Mark Sanchez being in there.
All right. You mentioned Brock Osweiler. I think it's so interesting.
Yeah.
Looking at Houston and Denver, obviously there's the Gary Kubiak connection there, too.
Exactly. To paraphrase that old movie, The Contract That Swallowed Houston.
Oh, very good.
Thank you.
It's a lot better than Houston, I think we have a problem.
That's too played out.
Yes, it is. By the way, I know from writing a biweekly baseball column that the reason you get lazy headlines like that is when you are just kind of forced to write biweekly columns and you just are like, oh, crap, I got to do this. And you don't want to think of anything more creative.
I've done that before.
Yeah, we all have. So with Houston, what's interesting is we talked about, okay, so they're replacing crap at quarterback, so they've got to naturally improve, right?
Right.
But we don't know if that's the case necessarily with Brock Osweiler. And then with Denver, it's like, oh, well, they're losing Peyton Manning. He was kind of terrible last year. They've got to be better, right? You know, it's kind of like that. It's like the inverse there, where even though you would think replacing Peyton Manning, you're going to get an upgrade and play a quarterback, I don't think they're going to. at all. I think this offense could be very, very bad.
Well,
this
and
year.
Again, the one thing here, there is always a scenario for things going the other way. Now, Mark Sanchez is too young to be basically Jim Plunkett, but there is precedent for guys who came out with a lot of promise, had early success, regressed, getting into the right situation later on. Again, you got Kubiak there to work with him, presumably also John Elway. I'm not saying I have expectations for Mark Sanchez because I don't. I got Denver at 9-7, missing the playoffs, and quite frankly, only being carried to 9 wins as a result of what is still an outstanding defense, even with some of the losses they suffered, Malik Jackson and others. I look at it and I say that, again, I don't have that expectation, but Sanchez has excellent coaching, a lot of guys to work with, and turnarounds have happened before. So while I don't expect it, there's a scenario in place to where this team doesn't miss the playoffs this year. I just don't think they're going to get there.
I do not have them making the playoffs.
Right.
I have them falling to 7-9.
Right.
I think the defense is going to regress big time from last year.
Oh, big time. All
right. Yeah, I think you're going to get regression on both sides of the ball. And in terms of total yardage, mm-hmm. they were fine.
Right.
But do you know what this team's record was in close games last year?
What? Had to be very good.
Yes. It was 11-3.
Oh, okay.
So that's not going to be
repeated.
That's
unsustainable.
They also, were they a big turnover team? Let me take a look here. Where are we at? Turnovers. No, they were actually -4 in turnovers. Well, that was because of Manning.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mark Sanchez has never been one to improve a team's turnover margin.
That's true.
Necessarily. I think that this is a very, very, very clear. Of the teams on the regression list this year,
mm-hmm.
isn't this everyone's number one?
Has to be. Has to be.
Although I'll say this, I actually think the team they played in the Super Bowl and beat, obviously, and the team they'll play, have a rematch with in week one, they actually might be, in terms of just pure wins and losses regressing, Carolina's actually probably number one because they're not going to win more than 15 games.
How does anybody come close to 15?
Yeah, that comes with a caveat. But
yeah.
There are very legitimate holes with Denver. You talked about the losses on defense. I just think that this was, for me, the record in close games was so... I talked about that so much last year, if you mm-hmm. remember. I just think that it's kind of like that Giants team we talked about from a few years ago or that Baltimore team from a few years ago. This is a team that goes from Super Bowl to not making the playoffs. They won't fall off a cliff. I do have faith in the front office. I think they'll have a bounce back year than in 2017, but I think this year's a rebuilding year.
In terms of teams falling off, or this team rather, falling off the cliff defensively, the only scenario I see for that, although it's possible, as we record this, they're still at an impasse with Von Miller. And if he's got the nuts
to... No, they got him, right?
Oh,
that's all taken care of. That's all
taken
care of.
All right, okay. All right.
They gave him a big deal.
All right. I didn't... So that they did finalize that
yes.
then? Okay. All right, my bad. All
right.
So what I'm about to say, all right, was we throw that out the window.
Throw the Gatorade out the window as well.
That's
and
right.
You almost throw
that's
out
right.
the window. I haven't seen you move that fast since they were passing out Rand Paul signs at the corner, for God's sake.
Yes, exactly. So, all right. So if the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed on that, then that's
let
one
me double
thing.
Check because sometimes, you know, I read things late at night.
Okay. So that's
yeah, richest player ever for a defensive player.
All right. So they got that taken care of. But the larger point that I'm going to make with
Do you know
Elway,
what Von Miller's middle name is?
No.
Bevisan. B apostrophe capital V S E A N.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting. You don't see that very often. I'm going to call myself Bevisan.
I was hoping it was going to be something like Ron, but I guess that's even more interesting.
No.
But
I'm a Bevisan man. Bevisan Miller.
Even with that deal, the point I was going to make still stands is that it's a very interesting thing in terms of the parallels right now. The NBA and the NFL that we've been talking about, both leagues where you face cap situations, different nature, NFL hard cap, NBA cap, luxury tax, whatever. But in terms of franchise construction, you still have a situation here where at about the same point in time, iconic names in both sports, John Elway, Pat Riley, dealing with how you're going to manage the cap, making unpopular choices, whatever. In the case of Elway, it was waving goodbye to guys like Jackson who end up going off to Jacksonville. It's not settling the deal with Brock Osweiler, which I kind of go back and forth on that one, although it does tell you something. Who would know more about him theoretically than them, watching him every day in practice, seeing if they think he's ready for it? And they didn't think he was ready, at least to be paid on the kind of level that he was. The question, if they get off to the kind of year that they, the kind of start that they might, is if we maybe end up seeing Paxton Lynch at some point here. And if they decide, believe it or not, that he may give them the better chance to win right now. And
I think that's
saying a mouthful about a rookie, especially a rookie that himself is considered to be something of a developmental guy. You look at Carolina week one, which is, I would have to think, an excellent opportunity for Carolina to get revenge.
What's funny? Let me look that up, that spread, because that spread, I remember I looked at it and I really liked the game.
Okay.
Already. This is another spoiler alert, along with Browns plus whatever they're getting, like 7 against the Eagles. I like loved when I saw something in this game, and I absolutely freaking loved it. Let me bring the line up here. I'm sorry. Of course, everything's loading slow here. It's no problem. Okay.
All right.
All right. I've just clicked on NFL odds for week one.
Let's okay.
No panic here. Page is coming up. It's loading. It's loading. It's loading.
You sound like a CNN reporter at Public Square in Cleveland during the RNC giving an update as to what's going
don't
on.
Don't you start that with
you
me.
Don't seem amused by
okay,
comparison.
Here, yeah, I... Oh, see? I actually like Denver in week one against Carolina a lot now. As much as I don't like Denver this year.
What's the line?
It has moved from Denver -2.5 to Carolina -2.5.
There's
a lot of value on Denver. Go against the public.
I'll still take
everyone's
Carolina.
Everyone's on Carolina. Oh,
road favorite Ricky.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I haven't learned, huh?
Well,
okay.
Here's the thing. You look at the games leading up to the
Vegas
bye.
At 9.5. Heavy juice on the under with Denver. 9.5 wins.
Take the under still. I wouldn't let the juice scare me.
I wouldn't either. I would not either in this case.
You look at the first half of the season leading up to the week 11 bye. Carolina, Indy, at Cincy, at Tampa Bay, Atlanta, at San Diego, Houston, San Diego, at Oakland, at New Orleans. Those here's a mouthful for a team that just won the Super Bowl, albeit lost key pieces. All of those seem like fairly closely matched games. They all kind of do to me. I look at I don't know that I could even give you a game that they're most likely to win out of that bunch. Maybe Tampa, but it's at Tampa. And Tampa should be better in year two of Jameis Winston.
Taking a look. No, this guy, I don't think, I mean, this isn't going to be a bad. I say the defense is going to regress, that does not mean that I think the defense will be average or bad. I think the defense will just not be historically great.
Well, yeah, we know what you mean because, again.
I mean, they were historically great last year in carrying the team to the Super Bowl.
They were on the level last year of Seattle
yes.
2013,
yes.
Tampa Bay 2002, Baltimore yep. 2000, Bears 85.
Philadelphia 91.
You're saying they won't be on that level again, and I certainly agree. I just think they'll be good enough to drag them to a 9-7 record.
And remember, at 12-4 last year, this team had a +59 point differential.
Okay.
It's Texas Rangers-esque for those of you watching the current baseball season
unfold yes.
in terms of, wow, were they lucky. For a frame of reference, Kansas City, who was in their division at 11-5, finished +118.
Right.
The other 12-4 teams, Cincinnati +140, New England +150. That's almost 100 points better. This was a lucky team in close games last year. They won both of their AFC playoff games close. I think regression is absolutely inevitable here, and I'm saying 7-9, no playoffs.
Wow. All right. I'm saying 9-7, no playoffs.
What do you agree on the no playoffs thing?
The next logical place for us to look is the other team that made the playoffs out yep. this division last year, the Kansas City Chiefs. I got them as a wild card again. I got them at 9-7. I think they're going to be back. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough here, process of elimination, I've mentioned two teams, one not winning the division, one is a wild card.
Yep. So
more interesting stuff to come subsequently. Hint, hint, hint.
Well, that's interesting because yes. I'm going to make things more interesting.
By picking them to win the division?
No, Kansas City will not make the playoffs.
Ooh,
so
okay.
My division winner is also still to come.
Okay.
I've got Kansas City regressing to 8-8. I feel that this is going to be a popular pick of many. I know Football Outsiders, I believe, has them winning the AFC West. The Almanac is not out yet, but when I'm look their early AFC projections, they had Kansas City winning the division. I think the current playoff odds on the site still do as well.
Well, they're the fallback choice.
They're the
for
fallback
everybody.
Because, yeah, because everyone expects Denver to regress.
Denver is thought to be going 10 on 11 on offense this year.
Kansas City closed the year on a 10-game win streak, and then they killed Houston in the playoffs. They weren't that good, and they certainly weren't as bad at 1-5. Remember, I picked Kansas City to make the playoffs last year.
Right.
And I was being ridiculed when they were 1-5.
Right.
I don't think you gave me the proper credit when they
won all
those games.
Quite possibly by me in September and October. Yeah. I don't remember. I conveniently don't remember if I ridiculed you.
They were number one in the AFC in turnover margin, plus 14.
Okay.
That's a kind of high. That's over a threshold that you expect regression. I think, like Denver, the regression won't be as severe as Denver, but like Denver, I just do not see this team winning as many games as last year. I think it's very obvious they will not.
Let me give you this phrase with the Urban THO. That defense, though. You know what I mean? You look at that. They're just scary.
You said that was offensive, by the way.
Was it?
Yes. Please edit that out, okay? You don't need to edit these long breaks when I'm waiting for web pages. Well, I don't co-sign to that at all. Odds makers like Denver have Kansas City at 9.5 wins. You said how many?
I'm saying 9. So.
Oh, okay.
Pretty close to it.
I have 8. So.
I have them as a team at 9-9, as I do Jacksonville, which I have as a wild card. Indianapolis, I have them at 9-7, winning the South. Pittsburgh, 9-7, missing the playoffs. And Denver, 9-7, missing the playoffs. So 9-7, as I said before, kind of tends to be the grid. You get the 9-7, you are dependent on tiebreakers. I am expecting Kansas City to make it on that. I have the division winner at 10-6.
Hold on. Pardon me. As I talk into not – I held the microphone away, and I just started talking randomly into my laptop. Hold on one second here. Let me
all
take
right.
a look at Kansas City. Because
– meanwhile
– They were very middle – they were only 15th in yard per – despite that 11-5 record, they only outgained teams on average by 2 yards per game. That's below Buffalo. That's between Buffalo and Chicago. I think this was kind of, like I said, I really love the way I put that. Not as bad as they were the first 6 games, not as good as the last 10.
Well,
so I think they're somewhere in the middle.
I would agree.
And you, I guess you do too. I guess the difference is that, you know, 8-8, 9-7 can be a very big deal in this league because 9-7 can get you in the playoffs, 8-8.
That's
unless
right.
if you're in a really horrible division, tends not to.
Yeah.
Not as a wild card,
that's pretty much the case. The one thing is that for the first time in a number of years, you had a guy who could really kind of make the defense account for, if not a bona fide deep threat, and I'd say he was at least decent in this regard, Jeremy Maclin coming in and making a difference in Kansas City, the likes of which we really hadn't seen the last couple of years. Alex Smith, again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the guy has become the second coming of anybody, but he has seen some progression. He has seen some growth.
And you can get him cheaper than these Flaccos and whatnot. That's
yes.
the key with him. You talked about the Chiefs defense. We should give them a lot of credit.
Yes.
They gave up fewer points than Denver did in the regular season.
They were really good.
That's 287, I think that was – no, the – am I looking at the right year? Yeah, okay. The Bengals actually gave up 279, just a hair – a smidgen lower. Oh, Seattle, though, was 277.
Right, right. Like
so,
I said, that defense, though.
It's a very good defense, but again, maybe they just regress enough.
Well, and you got
the regression will not be as 10-2 in the conference, by the way, Kansas City. Who's what non-conference? That means they did not get the job done out of – I feel they played the NFC North last year.
They did play the North because they had a game against the Bears that I remember.
And Green Bay on a Monday night, I remember, yes.
Green Bay with that very memorable Super Bowl I rematch, absolutely.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So,
I'm sure Hank Stram is smiling somewhere.
Yes, yes.
This year, their non-conference is the NFC South, which is
okay.
tended to be kind in the past.
Yeah, although, you know, the South is more of a mixed bag, certainly, than it was
they
even
get,
2 years
here's
ago.
Here's key for Kansas City. They get a late 3-game stretch at home in December of Oakland, Tennessee, and Denver.
Yeah, and
that's key.
I think that puts them over the top. That's where I have them as
they
a wild
also
card.
Play the AFC South. They play both South divisions.
Yeah. So there's a number of games. Well, and that's the thing too. If you're Kansas City, and you look at that schedule. You got one game against Carolina where you're going to be a fairly steep dog, or at least a decent dog. I don't want to say steep. I want to say double digits. But you have one game where you're going to be cleared a dog. Those other 7 games are winnable to layup in the case of Tennessee.
Yeah, and that Carolina game's midseason, so who knows what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
No, yeah, you're right. There's not... there's looking at the schedule, there is no game where if you look at, say, oh, they got no chance. I mean, their hardest game on paper, to me, is week four, a Sunday nighter at Pittsburgh.
That's going to be tough.
That's a definitive underdog
Carolina
game.
Yeah, you don't have too many games there.
They get to host New Orleans. I know the Saints' home field advantage isn't what it was in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, but you still would always rather play the Saints at home than on the road.
That's right. That's right, and I know that the Saints like some of the components with the Mercedes-Benz. You could have some electrical things going wrong.
Thank you, asshole.
Away from home.
Yes.
But, yeah.
I just think that there is the defense. Here's all right, with the defense.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. I get my notes open. I've been a little more disorganized as we've gone on. Pisses me off. I think the defensive backfield, you're going to see some regression. They lost some key parts there.
Yes. Who, that's a point of concern.
Sean Smith, you know. The offensive line.
Always a strength.
It usually is, but I thought it was actually a little disappointing last year.
Well, by their usual standards,
yeah, and they lost some guy. They did bring in Mitchell Schwartz, your boy.
Yeah, they did. That hurts from a Browns perspective.
Yeah.
So
I just think Kansas – I think that – you know, again, this is what I'm very comfortable if they don't win more games, but their floor. Here's why people are going to pick them.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you look at the teams in this division, this is the highest floor, right?
You bet. I mean,
I think this is clearly the highest floor because not going to regress more than Denver.
If they lose every close game, they're still what, 7-9? I mean, they're not.
Yeah, I think 7-9 would be a worst case scenario.
Absolute worst case scenario. There are a few teams in the league that you can say that for. So you're right. They're a high floor team, and they're kind of easy to pick in this regard.
I'm not picking them.
The two teams left to go are definitely teams with lower floors, particularly one of the two. Spoiler alert on these last two.
Who
aren't picking
the same division winner.
Let's
go yours first because that's the trendy PBR one.
Well, that's what you're going to say. Along with picking Jacksonville as a wild card out the AFC South, I am going with another trendy pick, the Oakland Raiders, to win the AFC West.
And people are betting this over like it's going out of style.
What'd the over start at?
It is now at 8.5.
Okay.
And it opened.
What did it open at?
I don't have that in front of me, unfortunately. But I think it like this is no over has moved more.
I get the sense it should have opened at 8.5.
Oof! Wow.
I'm picking them.
I think it opened 7.5.
This is one of the more comfortable over picks that I have recommended thus far.
Wow!
I like where they're going.
This is one of our we haven't had too many differences, have we? Like, what are our real differences so far? It was funny. I think the one we were furthest apart on is the Browns, but we still have them as the worst team in the AFC. Like, I have them at 5. You had them at 2.
You and I also somewhat
Jags.
Differ on Pittsburgh. I got them at 3 wins less than you do.
Okay.
We don't have too many ones
there's nothing where there's, like, a real headbutt. This is our first.
I got Indianapolis at 9 wins.
I had them at 7. I think this is just because where you have the Raiders.
But you're saying 7 with downside growth as well. So
yeah.
You're.
I think. But I think this is our real AFC headbutt because you're picking them to win the division. I haven't said where I'm going to pick them.
What's your projected record?
6-10 last place.
Holy crap. Wow.
This is our big headbutt.
I am flabbergasted.
Now, you were right about Minnesota last year, and I think that the blueprint for Oakland is Minnesota. But teams generally don't improve 2 years in a row to the degree that Raider fan is hoping for. Now,
yes and no. Minnesota, I won't say that they carried Teddy Bridgewater, but they didn't do it on as much Teddy Bridgewater as I anticipated.
Yes, I agree with
Oakland,
that.
Derek Carr is a big part of the reason a lot of us are looking at him.
Yeah, but, you know, I think he tailed off in the second half pretty considerably. I think he did. He's certainly been better than expected. I don't think he's as great as Raider backers think
they had a nice offseason. They made some key free agent signings.
I'm not – look.
Reggie McKenzie went from a guy where the first couple of years I'm like, what the hell is this guy doing to? Now I kind of get it a little bit more.
All right, here's the thing.
Kind of makes sense to me.
I want to say this about Minnesota,
okay,
Jacksonville, and Oakland.
Okay.
I absolutely agree that on paper and organizationally they're doing the right things.
Yeah.
I just – it's the part of me that says, I just – my viewing of these teams is stocks. I just think that particularly this year, the Jacksonville and Oakland stocks are very overvalued. A problem for Oakland, number one, they actually only outgained, I believe, 5 of 16 opponents last year. Let me take a look at this here. It depends what they did in the last week of the year. Let me look. I had them going into the last week of the year. Oh, wow, there we go. I just received a text that, oh, you have Daniel Bryan's book, don't you?
I do.
He said that HBK sometimes showed up in no condition to train. I have a buddy who's reading the book right now.
Oh,
he's texting
okay.
me that. Yes. So I'm sure people who want to hear about football talk really want to hear about Daniel Bryan's.
was it the Bob Sacramento of our show?
Yes, professional. Yes, it was. Professional wrestler Daniel Bryan's training in the early 2000s. Oakland. Hold on. I want to just double check something.
Yes, this just in. Daniel Bryan in his 2014 book said that Shawn Michaels had some pill issues. This just in.
Yes. How can we transition that to football? I don't know.
There is no transition.
Yes, okay. The Raiders, the last game of the year, was a close loss against Kansas City. They played them tough. I hate that I'm doing this, but I'm sorry. I'm going to do it because
right.
I want to be – I would hate to be off.
Your system must be slower because, like, I'm zooming back and forth between stuff pretty quick.
I also have 18 websites up right now, and a lot of them are, like, refresh. Like, four of them are ESPN pages, which refresh.
And if you were to tell me that you were on an Explorer browser, all this would make sense.
The Raiders were outgained in 11 of 16 games last year. That's not very good. They jumped from 3-7 wins, so they're a plexiglass principal team for me.
Okay.
But here's the big one. Here is the big one.
Okay.
Have you looked at their schedule this year? Normally, I'm not a guy who goes assigning wins and losses. I think that's
you're not like FDH director Nate Noy and director of research Nate Noy in that regard.
No, I think that's wrong. The Raiders play a lot of 1 o'clock games this year. As a matter of fact, three of the first 4 weeks. Now I know you're going to look at the opponents, but whatever. But oh my goodness! In the first 8 games, they have 5 1-o'clock games as the road team. They're in the Eastern time zone 5 times.
Yeah, but two of those are one's against New Orleans. They'll beat them.
One I don't
of those
think
is at Tennessee. They'll beat them.
See, that's so funny you said that.
What?
I think I love New Orleans in that week one game. And we're going to learn a lot in that game. I'm going to tell you why. Do you know that game? Like, look, like I said, New Orleans, their home field advantage may not be what it used to be a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That game's a pick 'em in New Orleans. Oakland, who never wins out east. New Orleans isn't, touching the Atlantic Ocean.
This but, just I mean, New Orleans is declining.
Yes, they are. And I think the Raiders are actually a better team than the Saints. But I think that's a classic way. That's the difference. I have little regard for the public. And I believe the public is driven that number down way too low. And when you look at the betting on that game, you just cannot tell me. Tell me. If Oakland goes in and wins that game, then maybe I'm wrong about the Raiders. I do not think that the Oakland Raiders deserve to be a pick 'em in New Orleans at week one.
The 1 1-o'clock that's a gimme loss just because of all the games out east and whatever, because they're facing another team that's very much on the rise. October 23rd at Jacksonville, I'll give you that one. In the Battle of the Rising Teams, I'll give it to them. Tell you what, though, you look at this. I don't think they'll be at a much of a disadvantage the next week. The next week is at Tampa Bay. If you're the Raiders, why do you bother going back
west? No, I'm sure they won't. I'm sure they wouldn't.
Yeah.
But I see the Raiders getting off to a slow start. I really do.
I could almost
this
say the
schedule,
same
this
for,
schedule is pretty hard, to be honest, when I look at it.
September 25th at Tennessee, October 2nd, Baltimore. I'd say same deal. Stay east. So that, on two occasions, probably takes away the whole body clock issue you're talking about.
Yeah, but who knows? We talk about it every time when we do the week by week projections. Oakland's record in 1 o'clock games is awful. And granted, part of it's because they've just been an awful team in general.
Yes, yes. And now they're a better team.
Yeah, so we shall see with that. But I'm just lukewarm on the Raiders this year. I'm just very lukewarm on them. I think David Carr isn't as good as people are making him out to be. I think people are putting the cart before the horse with this
team. Well, I will say, too, when you start looking at scenarios, because there are some teams where I can look at a scenario where I'm wrong.
Pro Football Focus has them winning the division just like you, right? 11-5 they have them.
That would not shock me. Pretty good team that's only getting better. The scenario for this team, if things go wrong, much like Indianapolis, where it could be more of an off-the-field thing with Chuck Pagano if they get off to a slow start, The scenario for this team, if the wheels come off, is the 95 Browns.
Yes, because where are they going to be? You're right.
This is, in all likelihood, a lame duck season in Oakland. One way or another, I don't think they're there next year.
And that don't think for a second that doesn't weigh on the people's minds. Remember, like San Diego, who we're going to talk about in a minute,
mm-hmm.
they had a real issue with home field advantage last year because people thought they were moving.
Right. And now, and what's interesting, is you may get into a stadium referendum campaign during this season, which may actively influence whether they move or not. And that's a thing where even knowing that passing a new stadium could enable them to keep the team rather than seeing it go to L.A., I'd say it still could be somewhat of a close call. Just because, you know, San Diego, like any good self-respecting area, it doesn't like high taxes, Kyle Ross. I know in the age of Obama, that's a heresy.
I don't think anyone likes high taxes. The only people who like high taxes are the backroom handshakes of Congress. I don't like high taxes. There's a bunch of things I would slash government spending on.
Well, you don't mind high taxes on other people. Well, that's basically.
You should see my tax rate.
But that's a situation, too, both Oakland and San Diego. That's sort of the commonality that we face when we're looking here at the other two teams in the AFC West, is that we don't have a real good handle at this point in time where either one of them is going to be in 2017, whether Sheldon Adelson steps up and builds a new stadium in Nevada for the Raiders, whether San Diego ends up going to L.A., the fact that they were granted the right to be the second team in L.A., I don't see them turning that down. Notwithstanding this whole phony stadium campaign, but we'll see. So you're right. That is sort of the commonality with both of them. I got to say, as somebody who was very high on San Diego a year ago.
I can't believe this, that you're, like, backing off the Chargers. Because we're ending this AFC preview with a bang, baby.
We are. We haven't had a lot of disagreement, but basically we have done this, whether we set out to or not, and I think it just played out that way. This has played out with the crescendo of a pro wrestling main event here as we're looking at Oakland and San Diego, because we do differ.
This is our most interesting thing.
Yes. I mean, like, we never disagree, or we never agree on the Chargers, because last year you and
no one thought they'd be that bad.
I'm going to say there was an asterisk to you being right, because injuries had a lot to do with it.
Yes, there would. They did.
There was that. But the injuries also, I think, spelled out that here's the problem. And when I talk about players who, in a positive sense, are force multipliers who can help in different areas, like I've always said, like, aspirationally, the thing the Packers always wanted as far as getting better was Clinton Dix being that guy in the secondary. And you did see that in the NFC Championship game against Seattle a couple of years ago when he had a couple of interceptions and whatever. The thing for San Diego is they not only had injuries, they were exposed as having guys who were, like, almost negative force multipliers, because the healthy guys weren't able to step up. You were saying off air, well, depth, if they hadn't had all the injuries. Hey, the healthy guys, with the possible exception of Phillip Rivers, weren't really shining either. Melvin Gordon had one of the bigger bust rookie seasons for a high caliber, high profile player in recent memory. So there's just a lot of things about them that are just kind of questionable looking at this here. And I don't think they did necessarily a lot in the offseason to patch up some of the holes.
Your boy Travis Benjamin.
Yeah, that's going to help.
And what about your other boy, Ken Whisenhunt, returning as the OC?
That will help.
I'm really surprised you're not higher. What's your win prediction for this team?
My win prediction, well, and again, I'm not saying anything catastrophic. Still better than last year. I'm saying 7-9.
Okay, I can't imagine anyone predicting this team
to
be
4-12 against that.
No, this is the most. So, like we talked about with Denver being one of the obvious teams to win fewer games this year,
yeah.
I think San Diego is certainly one of the obvious teams to improve their win total this year. As a matter of fact, 7 is what Vegas has. So, you ready?
Yeah.
San Diego is the proud recipient this year of my most improved team in the league.
Okay.
I am going to go out on a colossal limb here, because I have the other three teams all actually winning fewer games than they did last year. I'm going to say 11-5 for San Diego, and they win the division.
Holy crap.
I think every trend points up here. Now, first off, I'll take their quarterback over every other quarterback in the division.
Well, and
I know that's not the end-all, be-all. It's kind of Colin Cowherd-esque to make it that simple, but it's a fact.
Here,
and if they have better health right up in front of him, no team started more had a different grouping of offensive linemen, more different groupings of offensive linemen start in front of him than Rivers did. Six different starting fives.
That's
in front
true.
Of him.
That's true.
So if they can get health, and that's been a problem for them, this team, they're like the Giants. They always have a ton of injuries, San Diego. But 4-12, and you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
They actually outgained opponents last year over the course of the year.
Okay.
13th in yards per game differential. They were 3-9 in one score games, which is worse than Baltimore.
Okay. But that's, here's the thing.
There's just going to be a natural lift. Now, I'm calling for a go above and beyond that natural lift.
Well, and I'm just saying the natural lift up to 7-9. Mm-hmm. It's interesting you mentioned Baltimore because I was going to make that point of comparison looking at my predictions. I also have Baltimore at 7-9. The difference between me and you on these, and again, you I think picked Baltimore to be better than 7-9
as
well. Yes,
it had 9-7, yep.
Where I come down on those two versus where you come down, I'm saying natural lift, even if it's the dead cat bounce, if you will. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're getting everybody back healthy, whatever. Record in close games, blue last year in both cases. I'm saying you give them three more wins based on that, but I think in both cases, these two teams don't have enough depth in their starting 22 to be better than that. Where you're saying it's different is...
Well, what I'm saying is, see, you and I, we do look at things differently because I'm willing to be like, you know what? When I say San Diego's going to go 11-5, it doesn't mean I think they're the third best team. Because wins and losses, you know, to me, are very irrelevant.
Well, there is such a thing, too.
Like, I think San Diego is just going to be this year's... You know, every year there's just that fluke jump-up team. Like, the Jets, the Jets went from 4-10 wins last year. You're telling me San Diego can't duplicate that?
Well, it's, you know, you've always said during the week-to-week picks you're a very big momentum guy, Kyle Rossi.
No, I don't think I've ever said that.
Well, the irony is, momentum's the only justification I could even possibly see for something like that, because if you're going to say they get on a positive snowball run,
I think they
that's
could,
the only scenario
I just think they're
going to
win a lot of close games. I love them in week one against Kansas City to maybe come in and pull the upset and set the tone.
They could. I mean, you know, Kansas City, again, famously took that dive against the Titans 2 years ago, week one, so anything's possible. But
anything is possible!
I don't see it. I don't see it being San Diego. I would be hard-pressed to believe that too many others in the advanced analytics community were.
Oh, no,
no
one's going to be higher in America than San Diego than me. People are bumping on. What are my good friends? This was their early projections. This is not the almanac, so don't quote me here, folks. They have San Diego 8-8.
All right.
Actually, so
yeah, I mean, that's reasonable. That's about like the same ballpark as me, basically. So
Vegas at 7. So.
You know, you've got them as a divisional winner, along with you were going with who?
Houston in the
again.
South.
Okay.
Pittsburgh in the North.
All right.
New England in the East.
New England being the gimme that we're going to agree on. The funny thing is,
we disagree on the other three.
We disagree. Yeah, that generally doesn't happen because I think the last couple of years we've usually been like 3 out of 4 agree. Yeah. Not this year. I'm going with Cincinnati in the North, notwithstanding my questions about them. Indianapolis in the South, notwithstanding my copious questions about
them. These are real ringing endorsements.
Yes. And Oakland, who I don't have that many questions about in the West. So I'm looking at a situation here.
And your
where
wild cards are?
The wild cards are Kansas City and Jacksonville. So the two teams that I have getting the bye are New England and Oakland.
Ooh.
Oakland getting the bye, Kyle Ross. You suck on those apples.
Well, but suck on that PBR is more like it. My wild cards are Cincinnati.
Okay.
So that's a playoff team we agree on.
All right.
And Buffalo.
All right.
So we only agree on 2 of the 6 playoff teams.
That is amazing.
That's a record low for us. So give me your AFC winner.
All right.
Well, I hate this, by the way. I don't even want to do it.
I'll give you the progression of this in the wild card playoffs. Cincinnati over Jacksonville.
Yep. I'm going to say Cincinnati wins a playoff game, too.
Indianapolis over Kansas City in the divisional round. It is New England over Indianapolis again. Will the footballs be fully inflated? Stay tuned, folks. And Oakland over Cincinnati. Yes, that means the Raiders go back to championship Sunday against the New England Patriots, and they lose another Tuck Rule game probably,
that
but they lose.
That was the divisional round
the
first time around. When
yeah.
They played.
Okay. So
you're picking the
Raiders,
Oakland Raiders to go to the AFC Championship.
The Oakland Raiders will be playing on Championship Sunday. They will lose to the New England Patriots. You seem shocked.
I don't want to pick it. Can I not do this, actually? Like, I just, like, just, don't. Like, I just don't have a good.
Well, give me just whatever, all right?
I have Pittsburgh as the number one seed, so I'll go with them.
All
How about that for now? And I'm going to absolutely reserve my right to change it.
All right. Well, what's your scenario for who they're at least playing on Championship Sunday?
New England.
You can't pick them over New England. That's their kryptonite. Come on. Come on now.
Everybody's due.
Wow.
It'll be in Pittsburgh.
Well, under your scenario, yeah. It's not like they've ever choked to the Patriots in the playoffs in Pittsburgh before. Oh, wait, they have.
Yes, I know. That's well documented.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going to go Pittsburgh over New England in the AFC.
Wow.
I don't feel good about it at all.
I wouldn't either if I was you.
It's a year that absolutely – because the last couple years, the Chalks walked in the playoffs. This is one of those years where a team gets hot, and I think maybe pulls a surprise.
Yeah, it's the baseballification of the NFL.
Maybe, you know, honestly, if Cincinnati – like, they're a team, like, they're going to be a very interesting, because we both agree, like, the only two teams that we agree to make the playoffs are New England and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I could see the Bengals, like, to be honest with you, you know, maybe they get that monkey off their back, and then they go on a bit of a roll.
To be honest with you, and I was saying this, that's exactly what I was picking last year before Dalton went down.
Mm-hmm.
I actually anticipated that, and that they could make potentially even the AFC Championship game. Again, my macro-level question about them is, as I said before, the fact that Hugh Jackson was used as a mediator for all sides of the clubhouse, not just the offense, how is Marvin Lewis going to do?
Like, I don't love any AFC team this year.
No. I mean, the default is you have to look at the Patriots to go far, but it's one of these things where it's sort of like the last port in a storm. The Patriots... if anything,
they're not the dominant team that they were in years.
They're not,
past.
But here's the thing, though: the Patriots have receded, but they've receded at a point when the rest of the pack is so unspectacular. You know, it's more so by default that they're in that position. The NFC is much more fluid, much more dynamic. There are three or four teams probably that you could make a good case for the Super Bowl in the NFC. And that includes Carolina, who we always know traditionally the year after a Super Bowl loss, that is always fraught with a lot of bad things.
I think the NFC has a lot of easy calls to make it. I think the two best teams in the league are in the NFC. They're actually in the same division. In the NFL. I think the two best teams in the NFL are in the same division.
Wow, the Giants and the Cowboys, huh?
Yes. Not as you know.
All right, well, we will get to the NFC ones shortly here. We've been breaking down the AFC. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross looking ahead to 2016.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.